and namaste to all our listeners. Welcome to Vidruvach, and this is your host Mrinal Vashishti. As announced earlier, this podcast will also focus on history, and which is one of my favorite subjects. Today's podcast is on the Third Battle of Panipat, which was fought between Ahmad Shah Abdali of Afghan and Sadashivrao Bhau Peshwa of the erstwhile Maratha state. In today's time, the story of this battle evokes a lot of emotions in Maharashtra. In fact, a lot of them view it as a calamity for the Maratha state and still repents the death of Sadashivrao Bhau Peshwa and the loss that was befallen on the Maratha state on the occasion of the auspicious day of Makar Sankranti. Please note that we'll be only focusing on certain specific and those events which played key role in shaping up this battle, because history has many layers to it and had to be looked upon objectively. The Maratha Empire was at its zenith during the tenure of Nanasaheb Peshwa, who was also known as Balaji Bajirao Peshwa. He was the son of Bajirao from his wife Kashibai. During his time, the borders of the Maratha Empire reached till Attock, which lies in present-day Pakistan, to Bengal, and from Gangetic Doab to the southernmost reaches on the Indian Peninsula, with Pune acting as a de facto capital of the country at that time. However, as it happens with any ascendant power increasing its borders day by day, Marathas started looking at many enemies in the backyard. One of their enemies who were increasingly getting wary of Marathas were the Afghans, who were currently ruled by Ahmad Shah Abdali of the Abdali clan, or Durrani tribe. He rose from a general under the Persian king Nadir Shah to the unifier of Afghanistan and various Afghan tribes. In erstwhile India, Mughals were in disarray with weak rulers, and their rule was confided till the borders of Delhi, with Marathas acting as a protector of the Mughal throne. Due to the weak Mughal empire, and before the Marathas were able to extend their boundaries till Punjab and Attock, Abdali kept invading the Punjab and Delhi from 1748 till 1767 for 8 times. He also used to attack the adjoining areas of Delhi, such as Mathura and Agra, for the purposes of looting the wealth which they had to offer. And he was often helped by his Afghan brethren who was settled in northern India, such as, you know, Rohillas and other such small tribes who made India their home. It is important to note that every successive invasion of Abdali was quite brutal, and local population had to face innumerable brutalities by the hands of Afghans every time. As I said earlier, any ascendant power will have a lot of enemies to deal with, internal or external. Likewise, the main enemies which Marathas had to face were Shah Waliullah, Najib-ud-Dawla, aka Najib Khan. Najib Khan had areas near Saharanpur under him, Madho Singh of Jaipur, and Bijay Singh. They were discontented with the Marathas due to the Chauth, which was levied by them. Interestingly, Madho Singh was helped by Marathas to gain the throne of Jaipur. Further, we had Rohilla chiefs Hafiz Ahmad Khan and Dunde Khan. Among them, the prime was Najib-ud-Dawla, who, under the guidance of his spiritual master Shah Waliullah, was worried on the terrible situation on which the Muslim rulers were, and Islam was in decline after the near fall of Mughals. And hence he began exchanging letters with Abdali to come to Delhi and attack Marathas and push them south. One should also understand that each and every enemy had their own personal reasons and selfish ambitions for supporting the fifth invasion of the Abdali. Now, down in south, Marathas and the Peshwas were overjoyed over the victory on Nizam of Hyderabad, and who was acting as a viceroy of Mughals in Deccan. Further, Marathas also captured many forts and areas of Nizam along with the whole contingent of their artillery, whose chief, Ibrahim Khan Ghazi, started rendering services to the Marathas. The credit of this win, or you can say Battle of Udgir over Nizam, goes to Sadashivrao Bhau. And in fact, he had many victories under his belt down south. Sadashivrao Bhau was the son of Chimaji Appa, younger brother of Bajirao I, and was also called Sadoba. Unlike the Peshwa and their vices, Sadashiv was known for his probity and also believed in maintaining good health along with strict enforcement of moral standards in his administration. And he was a capable administrator, helping out Peshwa to run his kingdom efficiently. Apart from Sadoba, Raghunath Rao, brother of Peshwa, played an important role in the affairs of northern India. He started capturing lands of Punjab and helped moving the borders further northwest of the empire. Malharao Holkar, he was the Maratha chief at Indore and was an exceptional cavalry leader with guerrilla warfare and was handling affairs at central India on behalf of the Peshwa. Then we had Dattaji Sindhya, elder brother of Maharji Sindhya. Maharji Sindhya was actually the founder of Sindhya family, and Jyotiraditya Sindhya, who is a member of BJP, is a direct descendant of Maharji Sindhya. So Maharji Sindhya was handling affairs at northern India, and to keep the presence of Marathas at Punjab, and was also sent to subjugate Najib Khan, who was increasingly becoming a thorn for the empire. Next we have Govind Pant Bundele. He was the revenue officer and a part-time military chief who was based in Bundelkhand, which lies in present-day UP and parts of MP. He was given the responsibility to get revenues for the Marathas. Further, we have Samsher Bahadur. He was the son of Bajirao I from Mastani Bai, who was again an officer of a high caliber and a good cavalry leader. As the time passed and the Marathas began expanding, they adopted the open war technique on field instead of their own traditional way of guerrilla warfare of harassing and tiring out the enemies. Hence, after the Battle of Udgir, Sadoba recruited Ibrahim Khan Gardi along with his armies and his huge artilleries and cannons. Ibrahim Khan Gardi was trained by a French man called Charles de Bussy, who was earlier in Nizam's army. Artillery played an important role in open field war, and Sadoba was sure that it will help in future to cripple the forces inimical to the Maratha state. Further, it is important to note that Marathas had their armies at north, west, south and east in Bengal also. So the armies of Marathas were very well entrenched with different leaders leading them, specifically leaders like Holkar, Sindhyas, Gaikwads and others. Whereas Abdali had to rely on his principal forces only, which used to travel with him for the wars which he fought, or which he used to fought in the northern, in the north of subcontinent of India. Now, in the background, the wily Najibuddaula was making the plot of inviting Abdali to India and defeat the Marathas, so that the supremacy of Islam and the rulers remain unscathed in the northern India. He also starts parleying with Madho Singh, Vijay Singh, exchanging letters with them to support Abdali. Further, Abdali also started exchanging letters with a former Afghan called Muhammad Khan Bangash. Muhammad Khan Bangash was the chief of Farukabad, which lies in UP now. He exhorted him to support him as a fellow Afghan, for which Bangash readily agreed. The fox Najib also requested Shuja-ud-Dawla, son of Safdarjung. He was the erstwhile wazir at Mughal court in Delhi, and Shuja-ud-Dawla was the Nawab of Oudh, who was also being sought by the Marathas through Govind Pant Bundele. However, he finally decided to switch to Abdali on the request of Najib Khan, who also coaxed that he be made the wazir of Mughal court if Abdali wins the war. It is important to note that Shuja had earlier promised help to the Marathas. The Peshwa knew that Najib was a crook and wanted to oust him at all cost. Hence, he wrote to Dattaji Sindhya to oust him and punish the man at all cost. As the wily Najib already had good relations with Malharao Holkar, who treated him as his foster son due to unknown reasons, Dattaji, on the pretext of friendship, invited Najib to Shamli so that the wily Rohila can be captured and punished. However, this meeting failed, as Najib sensed danger to his life and started gathering Rohillas in northern India and to join him and started fortifying his capital at Najibabad and his fort at Pathargarh. He also secured his supply lines by building bridges across Ganga as his fiefdom lied on the left bank of Ganga. Unaware of all this, Dattaji had earlier requested Najib to complete the works for the bridge on the rivers so that Dattaji and the Marathas can cross the river during the rains and reach Audh and Mangod to collect chauth and revenues for the Maratha estate. But Dattaji also wanted to punish Najib. However, Najib never had the intentions to build those bridges for Dattaji. Infuriated, Dattaji decides to attack Shukratal. And Shukratal was again a fort near his capital, Najibabad. Najib waited for Dattaji there with strong defenses and full supplies of provisions. Dattaji began attacking and laid the siege to the fort at Shukratal. Also, he ordered Govindpan Bundele to attack Najib's territory, which was lying in the east of Ganga. Further, Govindpan Bundele defeated Hafiz Khan and Dunde Khan and cut his supplies, which was flowing from the east for Najib. Najib was worried. He asked Shuja Uddala to help him, and Shuja happily agreed and dispatched his forces along with the Gosavi army. So Gosavi army of his attacked Govindpan Bundele and defeated him in the east. As Govindpan Bundele was taken by surprise of this Gosavi army. Afterwards, the Gosavi army proceeded to Shukratal to help Najib, which made the fort at Shukratal nearly impregnable for the Marathas and Dattaji Shinde. Dattaji spent entire rainy season locked up at Shukratal and was sending parleys to Surajmal Jat and Malharao Holkar, who was stationed at Jaipur. Later, realizing his folly, Dattaji decides to lift the siege and decides to face the Afghans near Thanesar and ultimately Abdali. So Abdali was actually inside India near the adjoining areas of Delhi. But Abdali avoided him and was waiting for Najib to come and join him. Later, finally in 1760, when Malharao Holkar was planning to join his army with that of Dattaji, Abdali decided to act before Malharao reached to Dattaji. So Afghans started attacking Dattaji's forces, unknown to Dattaji, with muskets and swords, taking Marathas by the surprise. And sword-wielding Marathas started falling back. Ultimately, during the battle, Dattaji fell from his horse after a bullet hit the eye of Dattaji, and while he was dying, his head was cut off by the Rohillas and was presented to Najib. The death of Dattaji sent shockwaves across the Peshwai. Malharao Holkar is now the prime Sardar of Marathas in the north after the demise of Dattaji Shinde. Therefore, the Peshwa summoned all the commanders and leaders to Pattur near Aurangabad. All gathered on 7th March 1760. And there were free exchanges of views among the chiefs as to how to stop the repeated invasions of Abdali. Among them, the prominent was Raghunath Rao, younger brother of Peshwa and Saduka. However, Raghunath Rao asked for rupees 1 crore and the cavalry of 80,000 men, and he already had a debt of rupees 70 lakhs from his earlier expeditions. So it was chosen that Raghunath Rao won't be going to north to face Abdali. Now the heads at the court turned to Sadoba, as he was the only leader remaining who was capable and commanded respect of his subordinates in the Maratha Empire. It was decided that Sadoba will lead the army and face the Afghans and repel this repeated invasions by Abdali. Along with Bhau, it was decided that Balwant Rao Mendale, Jashwant Rao Pawar, Samsher Bahadur, Vithal Shivdeo, Damaji Gaikwad, Manaji Paigude, Satoji Jadav Rao, and the head of artillery, Ibrahim Khan Gardi, will start marching to north. Raghunath Rao, Visaji Krishna Biniwale, and Patwardhans remained at Deccan to keep an eye on Nizam down south. So Sadoba left with an army of 50,000 from Sindhgate, which is comes near the present day Dhule at Maharashtra. So the soldier comprised of Pindari army of second rate soldiers, 30,000 proper army, 8,000 men of Ibrahim Khan Gardi with his artillery, and the famed cavalry of Peshwa of about 10,000, which was called Huzurat, and 12,000 army of various other chiefs. Nana Farnavis also accompanied the army as the manager of accounts department, along with such other officers. Later, Nana Farnavis would be known as Chanakya of the Maratha Empire. Now, it is important to note that along with the regular army, there were a number of non-combatants, mainly the families of some soldiers and the chiefs, who, on the pretext of going north, wanted to attend sacred places like Kashi, Mathura, and such other important Hindu religious places. But later on, this will prove to be a burden for the Maratha army and the dwindling expenses. It is further important to know that Sodoba was first time crossing Narmada to north and was less experienced with respect to his understanding of terrain of north, its people, rivers, and the rulers. Though this does not make him a less capable commander, but Sodoba has fought all his battles down south, which means beyond Narmada, to south. So Marathas began their journey from Patadur on 14th March 1760 and left Sindhkhed 4 days later. They reached Burhanpur, which lies in present-day Madhya Pradesh, on Tapi on 4th April 1760. Then they reached Narmada at Handia. Handia lies at Prayagraj in UP on 12th April 1760. Later, Bhau with his forces reached Sehore, which lies in MP, on 24th April 1760. After crossing Narmada and Beresia, which lies in present-day Bhopal, on 28th April 1760, they stopped at Sironj to acquire some funds for military on 6th May 1760. From Sironj, the army passed Erin, Narwar, and finally reached Gwalior on 2nd June 1760. It is interesting to note that Abdali was just 300 kilometers now from Bhau's army. Abdali was at Anupshahar, which lies in the district of present-day Bulandshahar in UP. And Sadoba is still yet to cross two major rivers and one minor river to come to the grips of Afghans. As June is the start of season of monsoon, it started becoming difficult for the Marathas to cross the rivers as monsoon was much heavier that year. Then from Gwalior, Sadoba left on 4th June 1760 and reached Chambal. Crossing the Chambal, he reached Dholpur on 8th June 1760 and met Malhara Holkar and Jankoji Sindhya towards the end of June. Here, they met Jat King Surajmal Jat, who ruled with his capital at Bharatpur. Though Surajmal was also being courted by Abdali, as Abdali wanted no northern chiefs to help Marathas, Surajmal was still figuring out and trying his options as to whom to join the forces with. Ultimately, he decided to join the Marathas with his 10,000 troops. So he was the only northern chief who agreed to join the Marathas. Later, when all the forces of Holkar, Sindhya and Surajmal joined with that of Bajirao, there was a small war council as to how to go about to stop Abdali and his forces. The differences arose between Surajmal and Holkar with Sadashiv, as both felt that Marathas would do better fighting Abdali in the traditional way, that is, with light force harassing his army and not in open field. They further counseled Bhau to leave the artillery of Ibrahim Khan, Gardi, and all other dependents. As I said earlier, there were many non-combatants who were travelling with the Maratha army at a fort near Gwalior to go without any burden and for the purposes of rapid movement. But Sadoba placed his faith on artillery and in an open field war. And frankly speaking, he was right also, because Afghans were also expert at guerrilla warfare, and Dattachi's defeat was a proof of it. It is pertinent to note that Marathas at that time, and when I say Marathas, it means the army of Sadashivrao Bhau, were facing shortage of money and grains, and extra travelers with them were becoming burden on the army. And there was little money to sustain the army and less supply lines for them, as you know, Marathas had very less friends in the north. So to keep sustaining their army, Sadashivrao Bhau decides to capture Red Fort at Delhi and take Abdali by surprise. So this allowed Marathas to enhance their supplies a bit. However, the finances of Mughals were itself dwindling. So Though they were able to get some finances from the Red Fort, however, it was not enough to sustain the army. Nonetheless, there was a riotous celebrations at Pune, and the respect of Bhau was kept increasing day by day. But Delhi was a barren conquest, because it has been looted twice or thrice before by Abdali and others. Now, moving back to the army of Sadashiva Bhau, Surajmal Jat wanted to take charge of Delhi as his bargain with the Marathas, and also wanted Peshwa to excuse the tribute for next 4 or 5 years. And further, his agent should also be given a jahagir of 60,000 rupees. Bhau accepted the latter demands, but he was not ready to give Delhi to Surajmal, and he was quite adamant on it also. Therefore, Surajmal, the only northern ally, decides to desert the Marathas on 4th August 1716. Bhau tried making them understand to return for the larger cause, but without success. So ultimately, Marathas were alone, and no one helping them in this glorious conquest against the Afghans. As said earlier, that both the armies hardly had any distance from each other, and both were waiting to cross the Yamuna River. Bhau found that Abdali had left well-fortified garrison at a fort in Kunchpura. Now, Kunchpura was an important staging post with a very strategic location on the west bank of Yamuna, which was about 120 kilometers from Delhi. The owner of the fort was Najabat Khan. Abdali had stocked the fort with the provisions, money, and that his armies needed on way back home to Afghanistan. Yamuna was flowing with full force, and it was difficult for both the armies to cross the river, as there was a danger that armies would perish in such ferocious waters of Yamuna. Bhau, who estimated that it will take 120 days for the waters of Yamuna to recede, he decided to attack the fort at Kunchpura. And as Marathas were already going through a shortage of funds and food, Marathas attacked the fort on 17th October 1716. Ibrahim Khan's Gardi artillery demolished the defenses of the fort, and Marathas entered the fort in large numbers, plundering it. Thousands of Afghans were put to slaughter. Najabat Khan, owner of fort, died from his wounds. Abdul Samad Khan and Qutub Shah, the spiritual gurus of Najib Khan, were captured. It was Qutub Shah who had beheaded Taji Sindhi. So this is how the events transpired. Qutub Shah was caught by Damaji Gaikwad and sent on an elephant to Bhau, Holkar and Jankoji, who were all at one place. Seeing him on an elephant, Bhau asked, "Who sent him on an elephant? Show him off." Qutub Shah, seeing his fate was sealed, then offered that if Bhau sought a treaty with Abdali, he would arrange it. "If not, take 50 lakh rupees and release me, and I will raise an army of 25,000 and attack you." Bhau asked him, "Did you kill Dattaji?" Qutub Shah replied, "I followed my religion. It is our norm to cut off the enemy's head, hold it atop a lance, and play martial music." This infuriated Bhau. Bhau ordered, "Take him to Dhal and cut his head off." Jankoji and Holkar said, "It is better to release him and get some work done by him. Killing him will not bring back Dattaji." But Bhau did not listen to them. Finally, all three agreed, and Qutub Shah was taken to Dhal and beheaded. Abdali was rattled by this attack and started cursing the Marathas and his other Indian partners, saying that how do they do not know to cross the rivers. He further said, "It is unbearable that while I am still alive, my countrymen should be insulted in this fashion. Make every possible effort to find a ford on the river so I may quickly cross over." Suddenly, Afghans found some Gujars. Now, Gujars are herdsmen with semi-nomadic existence, who knew the tracks of the region. So, on the offer of money, they aided Abdali, who showed the way for the ford of Yamuna at Gauripur Panwad. The path was made, and he started crossing the river on 25th October 1716. Marathas, meanwhile, were travelling to Kurukshetra and to Punjab to meet Sikhs. However, when they were made aware that Abdali has begun crossing the river on 25th October, they abruptly abandoned their plans and returned back. So Abdali started from Shahadra, crossed Yamuna, reached Delhi, then went to Barari, Sonepat, and reached Panipat. Whereas Marathas returned from Kurukshetra, reached Kunchpura, and then reached Panipat. So now both the armies were eye to eye with each other at Panipat. Sadoba entrenched himself with the town of Panipat on the advice of Ibrahim Khan Gardi, and Abdali waited for an imminent attack from the Marathas. It is important to note that both the armies were blocking each other's path back to home, Bhau to Pune and Abdali to Afghanistan. Hence, the battle was imminent as both the armies needed to go back to their home in the end. However, before the battle, usual diplomatic parleys started among the Marathas and Afghans. The last diplomatic letters were exchanged. Amar Shah Abdali writes to Bhau, "You have forcibly taken Attock, Marwat, Lahore, Bengal, Antarvet, Gaya, Prayag to the border of Kashmir and placed your outpost there. You have emptied the Emperor's treasury." Emperor's treasury means the Mughals. "Further, you are annexing regions even beyond Attock. You have reduced Chittor, Badawar, Ajmer, Dwarka and Gujarat. You are taking a ransom from Agra every year. Similarly, your rule extends beyond Kashi for 300 miles till the hills of Kumaon. You have ambitions to reach Badrikashram. Beyond Ramnagar, you want to reach the Himalayas region till the river Gandika Shila. You wish to seize and bring in your control. You wish to conquer Ayodhya and aspire for Constantinople. This is your real face. To check this excess, the Emperor of Constantinople, Pir Peghamber Sultan Muhammad Shah, has ordered this son, and the King of Delhi called me. We have crossed Attock for this purpose. You may ask the reason. It is because the Badshah of Delhi, despite being supreme and like your own god, there were defections in his court. You broke the throne of Emperor. This is the reason we wish to defeat, to chase you. The Badshahi of Delhi is not an ordinary one, but you reduced that emperor. You have won 52 Badshahis. What are left will also be defeated by you. This is your spirit. You have crossed limits beyond measure. What profit have you seen in all this? It is best you leave all the Badshah's region, except the 6 provinces of the Deccan. There is no need for you to come north of the river Narmada and trouble yourselves. The emperor has awarded the Sar Deshmukhi to you. Take that. Do not cause further trouble. Besides this, I will give 3 crore rupees per year to your army for its expenses. And if you do not agree to this, you will have to fight." To which Sadoba replies, "This is the Badshahi of the Hindus. We will make all arrangements here. You have left your own country and taken counsel from Shuja-ud-Dawla and Najib Khan and come here with earnest order to take over this country. Earlier too you have come and completely subjugated the Padshahi. Now you come with the advice of Meera Babu Begum. This is not way of justice. When you came last time, had we been present here, we would have ensured the Padshahi would not have been disturbed. Who are you to set the rules? We will do what we please. It is our determination to check the events at Constantinople, capture the region till there. In this scheme of things, what is Durran-e-Iran? It is best you go back the way you came, via Attock, and protect your amiable relations. Those who complained to you about us and brought you here, what special traits have you found in them? Do you think we will live in fear with you today? We are fully equipped with what we need. As the Prime Minister of the Hindu Padshahi, the entire responsibility is mine." So this ensured that the war was imminent between both these huge armies. The Marathas had entrenched themselves well in the town of Panipat and were waiting for the imminent attack from Afghans and expected Maratha artillery to decimate the Gilchas. Now, Gilchas was the derogatory term which was used by Marathas at that time. However, Afghans waited patiently. Afghans' supply lines were much secure than of Marathas, as Marathas had less friends in the north. Hence, Marathas planned to start cutting off supply lines of Afghans. Abdali was the man of war and during the times of war maintained his calm and composure by not attacking the Marathas till the time he is sure that the defeat of Marathas would be imminent. Although his Indian chiefs were getting tired for waiting of this imminent attack. Though it is important to note that large skirmishes were used to take between the Marathas and Afghans before the battle. To this, the Marathas lost their able commander Balwantrao Mendale. Afghans lost Khalilur Rahman, who was an uncle of Najib Khan. For Marathas, Sikhs under Ala Singh Jat were sending supplies to them, but only on secure payments. And commodities were becoming more and more expensive in both the camps. But for Marathas, supplies were very less. Therefore, Bhau, who was getting agitated due to less supply of food, commodities and money, instructed the revenue collector Govindpan Bundele to move to Rohilla territory and to raid the town there. Now Govindpan Bundele was always at Bhau's receiving end. As Govindpan Bundele failed to get revenues and the allies for the Maratha Empire, so Govindpan Bundele moved into the Rohilla territory. He crossed the Doab and started raiding the town near Meerut and other adjoining areas of Rohilla. This started affecting the supplies for Afghans. Now to overcome this, Abdali dispatched Atai Khan. Atai Khan was the nephew of his wazir, with 10,000 fresh troops to attack Govindpan Bundele. Atai Khan crossed Yamuna on 18 December 1760 and reached Ghaziabad, where Govindpan Bundele was waiting for a local chief called Jeta Gujar to pay a ransom to him. Now Jeta Gujar informed Afghans of his whereabouts, and on morning of 28 December 1760, Afghan army attacked Govindpan Bundele and his troops. Marathas were caught by surprise. After the battle, Govindpan Bundele was captured and beheaded. Now we are moving to a final battle on that fateful day of Makar Sankranti. This was a peak winter in north in Jan 1761. In the Maratha camp were facing shortage of provisions, including fuel, food and money. Horses and bullocks were dying in large numbers due to starvation. The ditch around them was littered with the dead bodies of persons who has died in earlier skirmishes and the animals. But Bhau kept Maratha spirited and kept inspiring his soldiers by his own example and maintained a positive stance. Bhau knew the condition of his forces. In fact, Afghans still wanted to have a diplomatic solution before the war. However, the overtures of Abdali was all the time rejected by Najib. Finally, after running out of patience due to the shortage of food, Marathas decided to make a final dash against the Afghans on the fateful day of Makar Sankranti on 14th January 1761. This was a do-or-die situation for the Marathas. In the early morning, Marathas rose and prepared for battle with their artillery, cavalry and camels were mounted with jijalas and zamburaks. Elephants were prepared with their ornaments and howdahs and started moving slowly out of their camp to the battlefield of Panipat. Afghans were informed of the Maratha advance in the morning and they also prepared for the battle. Afghans in total had 60,000 soldiers with them and Marathas stood at 45,000. The battle formation of Marathas was a square one and planned to march past of the Afghan formation. The two armies were at an angle to each other. Around 9 a.m. in the morning, both the armies were thus aligned and Marathas began executing their square movement towards Afghans. Afghans were not allowing Marathas to cut through them. And here comes the famed artillery of Ibrahim Khan. However, it missed the Afghans and Afghans began attacking the right flank of Maratha square formation. To this, Gardis gets divided into two parts and starts attacking the Afghans fiercely and decimated most of the army, who was also commanded by an able Dunde Khan. And the artillery of Ibrahim Khan was wreaking havoc on Afghans. And as they fell silent, Vitthal Shivdev and Yashwant Rao Pawar sallied forth and started attacking the Rohillas. Abdali was witnessing all this from behind his camp. He was protected by his loyal slave soldiers. Now Saduba, along with Vishwas Rao, who was the elder son of Nana Sahib Peshwa, were guiding the action in the center with their famed cavalry, Huzurat, and started attacking the Afghan center with ferocity. Sarkar described this attack in these words. Suddenly, the firing from the Maratha side ceased, and from around the Bhagwa Jhenda, thunderous roar of Harar Mahadeva rent the air, and vast cavalcade of 13,500 men heaved tumultuously like some gigantic billow of the ocean and dashed in resistless sweep on the Durrani center. Kaziraj says that the fighting was so violent that the earth and sky could not be seen, and the eye of the heaven became dazzled at beholding this spectacle. The Marathas drank up the wazir's men like the waters of a river. The Afghans were shocked to such ferocity and had no time to respond to the Maratha attack. The Maratha center under Saduba cut through 10,000 Afghan horses, 7,000 Persian musketeers. Hence, the Afghan center and left was completely decimated. In short, Afghan soldiers started running back to their camps. On the right side, Jankoji started facing Najib Khan, and Najib was very well aware that it was he who is the reason for the invasion by Abdali and death of the Taji Sindhya. So he started taking his steps very cautiously. Further, Shah Basant on the Afghan left made a steady advance against the army of Holkar and Sindhya, and they failed to make an impact on him because Shah Pasand was an experienced general of the Abdali. The attack, which started at 9 to 1 hour after afternoon, the Abdali right and center were practically decimated and more troops were returning to their camps hurriedly. Here Abdali showed his prowess. He ordered his military police, Nasakchis, to force back the troops who had fled the battlefield by killing them. So these Nasakchis started killing some of the deserters to make an example out of them and created fear among deserters who were again ordered to go back to battlefield, as this was again, it became a do or die situation for these deserters. It is now past 12 noon. Afghans were ably defended by Shah Hasan Khan and Najib Khan and some Rohillas. As the Marathas expected a complete breakthrough in the enemy ranks, it did not come in the first 4 hours. And Abdali had pushed 10,000 fresh troops and began filling the ranks of Rohillas too. The battle was intense. Everything possible had been used in the showdown, from muskets to spears, arrows, swords, daggers, bare hands. Both the armies were not ready to give way to the other. Suddenly, around 3 in the afternoon, a bullet struck the chest of Vishwasrao as he was battling Afghans from his horse. He died instantly. Sadoba, who was close, saw his nephew dead and was struck with huge grief. He had Vishwasrao's body moved atop an elephant. Saddened beyond measure, Bhau moved from his elephant into his horse and plunged into the battle with his army. The news of Vishwasrao, the head of army of the Maratha army, spread like a wildfire, and not seeing the Bhau in his howdah on elephant, panic gripped the Marathas, and unfortunately, Marathas began fleeing. In the end, it came to know that Bhau also lost his life. In fact, one of the soldiers of Abdali described that they found Bhau fighting alone with more than 4 to 5 guns. This Pathan soldier persuaded Bhau for his precious jewels and surrounded him. At first, he did not have an intention to kill Bhau, as he thought that this man was some kind of a chief, and in fact inquired Bhau about his identity. But as no reply came, he killed Bhau with a spear and cut his head off. Jankoji Sindhia was captured, but was killed on the insistence of Najib Khan. Afghan armies literally plundered and began assaulting the Marathas brutally till 4 p.m. They began cutting heads off of the captured as having some kind of a competition among them, and saved many women and children of the Marathas. Those who managed to run ran away from the battlefield. The prominent one was Nana Phadnavis and the Holkar with his army. It is said that Malhara Holkar ran much earlier in the battle in between, when he realized that Marathas have begun losing with his army, because this guy always believed in surviving and fighting for the next year. Ibrahim Khan Gardi was also captured by Shuja-ud-Dawla, and Shuja-ud-Dawla had planned to send this man to Lucknow secretly. However, he was intercepted by Abdali and handed over to Shah Wali Khan, who treated this man quite with cruelty, and ultimately he died of his wounds. Nana Sahib Peshwa, who also began marching from Pune with a large army to support Bhau, got the news of Maratha defeat near present-day Madhya Pradesh, and the death of his elder son Vishwasrao and his able, trustable and loyal nephew Sadashiv Bhau. This was a difficult period for the Maratha Empire, and Nana Sahib, who was not keeping well with his health due to an unknown disease, went into depression. Abdali, though victorious, was not happy that he lost more than his half men in the battle with the Marathas. The loss to Afghans were much more than the Marathas, as this was the only force which used to travel with Abdali, and Abdali used to rely on them on all his campaigns, and now remains less than half of it. Abdali did not want to advance further and asked for a truce from Nana Sahib Peshwa, as he knew that Marathas had armies all over the country and he won't be able to match them. Abdali, after settling affairs in Delhi and having seated his puppet Mughal king, he wrote to Nana Sahib and sent this letter by his envoy Yaqub Ali Khan. The letter says, "There is no real reason why there should exist any ill feeling between you and us. True, you have lost your son and brother in the unfortunate fight, but it was entirely provoked by Bhau Sahib, and we could not act otherwise than we did in self-defense. However, we are deeply sorry for these losses. We readily leave to you the subject of the Imperial Government of Delhi, provided you allow us to hold Punjab up to the river Satluj, and support Shah Alam as the emperor. You must forget the regrettable events that have taken place and entertaining a lasting friendship towards us, which we are anxiously soliciting. Abdali further sent his envoy Gulraj with customary dresses and gifts to Nana Sahib Peshwa. In fact, Nana Sahib also sent elephants and return gifts to Abdali. Shah Wali Khan held negotiations with Gangadhar and Hingane Tatya, and Delhi was again given to the control of Marathas. Now you can understand who in the end won the war. Abdali left Delhi on 20th March 1761. Najib Khan, the fox and traitor, realized his folly and did not succeed to uproot the Marathas from the north and to make peace with the Marathas. Madho Singh was later defeated by the Marathas for his treachery. Peshwa, in fact, has written to his aide on this. On Abdali's departure, the life has gone out of North Indian princes. Bijay Singh has returned to me proffering his loyalty, handing over Ajmer province to us. Najib Khan has retired to the foothills of Kumaon, and Shuja has returned to his province. All those who took Abdali's side have fallen flat on their backs. In later years, Maratha power grew more under the able leadership of Peshwa Madhavrao, who again re-established the Maratha supremacy over the subcontinent with the help of his able chiefs Maharaji Sindhya, Malharao Holkar and Nana Fadnavis. Abdali returned to his home. He never invaded Delhi again, but as he wished to have Punjab, he tried to capture it four times but was ably resisted by the Sikhs. It was Sikhs who finally permanently stopped the Afghan invasions under the able king Ranjit Singh, the Lion of Punjab. Abdali died on 23rd October 1772. Due to an ulcer which grew onto his throat from his nose. His tomb lies in present-day Kandahar in Afghanistan. I would like to dedicate some lines to Sadashiva Bhav. I hope you will have patience left to listen to this, because Sadashiva Bhav for me is still an important figure who was actually a catalyst to stop the successive Afghan invasions. The Marathas fought for India. In Bhav's own words, an India ruled by Indians, ostensibly for a decrepit Mughal emperor who was a powerless puppet to be employed by one of the most powerful puppeteer, but really for Maratha's own interests in the north. They could not allow Abdali's second occupation of Delhi in 3 years to pass unchallenged. Bhav could not once again adopt Raghunath Rao's approach of rushing after Abdali left to reoccupy the lost and looted lands. Bhav's no-nonsense approach spread a real fear that he would, as he attempted to do at Udgir, uproot the Mughal dynasty once and for all. Sadashiva Bhav fought for his Peshwa the way his father Chimaji Appa did, eschewing greatness, sacrificing his own life in supreme interest of the state. He left no descendant and left no will for others to read. He is revered to this day in the villages of Haryana, where many believe he escaped from the battlefield and stayed for long in their villages, training the local people to oppose the Afghan chiefs left to rule the area. Bhav's ballad may no longer be sung in the land of his birth, that is Maharashtra, but he is remembered in the land of Kurukshetra as a brave general who fought the Afghan invader to the finish and who defended the then frontiers of India with a bastion built with his men. He took the challenge of the Chakravyuh laid out by his enemies, and he entered it with his head held high, never once displaying fear, never letting his men lose with high morale. He did play the role of Abhimanyu to the hilt, perishing in the process. There was a poem which was written by a poet named Ram Satwa, and it graphically portrays the final hours of the desertion and the valor of Sadashivrao Bhav. Full fiercely rigged the battle, force fiercely and full long, to strike, be struck, to kill and die, the desperate soldiers throng. But the Gilchas waxed more furious, theirs was the bloody day, and the great host of Marathas in rout was swept away. Or singly or in squadrons, they turn and fight and fly, the palki is crowd but the leader proud on the field was left to die. O Lord of princely presence, than our own life more dear, why hast thou left us? Tell us why. Return and bid thine anger fly. O noble Bhav, appear. Friends, said the sad survivors, and hushed their tone in awe. The noble Bhav and Jankoji is many men that saw. How far it will be with our leader, the Nana Sahib, who shall tell whether he lives or whether on the ridge of fight he fell. We saw him erst surrounded by thirsty swords and kin. None was near to aid him, but more we have not seen. O Lord of princely presence, then our own life more dear. Why hast thou left us? Tell us why. Return and bid thine anger fly. O noble bow, appear. Further, it is also said that Sadashiv Rao Bhau was initiating a kind of a policy for India to be governed by Indians. And he was the first man before the modern times to understand the close relationship between the cultural and political identity of Indian people. The death of Bhau was a grievous loss for the Marathas. Not only did the Marathas lose an able administrator and a bold general, they lost a leading member of a ruling family, who by his stern and efficient manner would have stopped the later civil war which was brought on by Raghunath Rao in Madhav Rao Peshwa's early years, and certainly prevented the murder of Narayan Rao Peshwa in the next decade. In fact, Sadashiv Rao Bhau took many Indians along with him for this war. He took Marathas, Telangas, Muslims and many other army to Panipat. His letter to Rajputs, the ruler of Aur, the king of Jats, spoke of this Indian identity. Bhau had little role to play in the north till then, but had Panipat turned out differently, a new approach of governing India might have arisen under his stewardship, and new equations with Indian powers might have arisen. I mean, can you guys imagine? I mean, a guy at that time wished to extend the boundaries of India till Constantinople. I really don't remember any person who had this kind of a vision for his country. Sadashiv Rao Bhau had it. I wish that Sadashiv Rao Bhau, along with Vishwas Rao, if they would have survived, we would have seen a different India. And I'm damn sure that Sadashiv Rao Bhau could not have allowed English in their backyard. And in fact, as I said earlier, must have avoided the civil war which was brewing inside the Peshwa's family. Sadashiv Rao Bhau's demand that India should be ruled by Indians and there was no place for a foreigner like Abdali in India came true in the decade after his death. This shows that why people should abandon their personal wishes and selfish reasons for the larger causes. Bhau had a larger vision. It was Bhau who had the courage to take on the invader, but unfortunately he was alone in his mission. He was, according to me in true sense, was Abhimanyu, a hero of Mahabharata war. Abhimanyu sacrificed himself for the larger good, saving Pandavas in process, and Bhau saving India and the empire from another successive invasions by Afghans and such other invaders. Thank you people for listening out. I hope you like this session. Please don't forget to subscribe to our podcast channel at Spotify, Breaker, Radiocast, Google Podcast. Subscribe in large numbers. Share this podcast with your friends, family and family members. Further, I would like to have your opinion as well. You can write to me on mrinal1991@gmail.com. I would be waiting for your previous opinions on this podcast. Thank you and Namaste.